Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back John Reeve to the podcast. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, James. Glad to be here.
Well, it's good to have you back. You know, we've had you on quite a few times to talk about CMMS implementations, you know, failure modes to failure codes, which is a book you actually have written and is available to our listeners. But before we dive into our new topic today, you know, you previously started off in the nuclear Navy. From there, you worked implementing CMMS, plant scheduling, and asset management programs with a variety of different organizations. And currently, you're senior business analyst with EDI, or Electronic Data Incorporated. As mentioned, you're also the author of Failure Modes, the Failure Codes, and you have your CRL. What did I miss in your brief bio there that you may want to fill in?
Well, no, I think you hit everything. And the consulting career began in 1987, and now we're emphasizing industry best practices.
Excellent. So how long have you been involved in asset management and maintenance and reliability? Since 1987, or does it stretch a little bit before that?
Well, consulting began in 87, and then 10 years later, the software side of the CMMS career took off. But it wasn't until 2000 where I gravitated more towards some peer maintenance, reliability, asset management focus. Because when you talk to the customer, 9 times out of 10, the engineering manager, the maintenance manager, they really want the complete package. They want more than just software. They want the total solution.
Yes, absolutely. And on that note, I've heard you say that what organizations need is an asset management program and not software. And I think that's what you're leading into there. But why do you say this?
I hope most organizations realize that you can't purchase reliability. Of course, you can purchase the software, and you can do some very clever things, and the technology is changing rapidly. But at the end of the day, it's still, you got to have accurate data in there. Otherwise, we're going to revert right back to tribal knowledge. And so, and even before the accurate data, you've got to identify that the output. What is it you want out of the system? Who are the stakeholders? What decisions do they want to make? And then make sure those analytical reports exist. So, and link the output back to the inputs.
I couldn't agree more. You need to understand what you want out of the system. If you're going to be running bad actor reports, you're going to be doing some reliability engineering and deep diving failure modes and causes and those sorts of things, you need to capture that data. If you don't have any ambition of doing that ever in the future, which I don't recommend, but if you don't, then you don't need to collect that data. You don't need to do certain things. So I think your approach with understanding what is the output, what is that end goal that we need, and work backwards from there is how you make CMMS and other reliability software successful.
Absolutely, I agree, yes.
Now, do you find that organizations believe that a new CMS will fix their maintenance and reliability or asset management problems and programs?
Well, that's where they sometimes go. I mean, who has the budget to make improvement? Quite often, it might be the IT department, and they're going to focus on the software side. But the hope is that they involve the right people. And so not only the maintenance manager, but more importantly, the engineering side, the reliability leaders, the reliability champions, maybe even reliability engineers, and get them involved, have them part of the implementation team. And then once the implementation completes and they go live, well, I still want them involved in the core team, day-to-day operation. So those are my thoughts there. And that will give you input that you need to make a successful asset management system.
Absolutely. You need to have everyone involved understanding, like we talked about previously, what are the outputs we need? If once we have those outputs, then we can build out the appropriate inputs. What data do we need? How do we structure the hierarchy? All those different things. But I liked how you mentioned involving all those different groups and stakeholders, reliability engineering, maintenance, regular engineering, all those things to make sure that the system will do what we need to and not just a software package that may or may not give us the right information we need. Now,
yes.
Why will software alone not solve the asset management problems we have?
Well, I always visualize a graphic in my head on this question. And an asset management program is a very large circle, and then the software itself is a much smaller circle within the bigger circle. And so the things that are outside the software would be RCM analysis. It would be defect elimination. It could be a TPM, precision maintenance, getting the right skills in for the crafts. Chronic failure analysis, which is really the main theme of the book that we mentioned earlier, root cause analysis, criticality and risk assessment, service level agreements, asset condition. Those are some of the components, and leadership, of course. Leadership is so much more than just the software. You've got to have that vision, mission statement, goals, objectives, some key performance indicators, and again, the analytical reports. It all needs to come together for a complete asset management system.
Yes, absolutely. It starts with leadership, and that's what sustains it long-term as well. Now, how can organizations begin to fix their asset management program?
Well, the term I like to use is benchmarking, and I need to explain that because it's not evident to everyone exactly what that is. And so this podcast is a form of benchmarking where a listener is capturing ideas, tips and tricks, understanding definitions. We're trying to establish a common language and at the same time perform continuous improvement. So benchmarking is a key part of that. It starts with having a core team. So if you have a core team, they would be driving this. They would not only manage the software, but more importantly, they're seeking continuous improvement, as I mentioned, but they do that how? They should be an avid student of asset management. So you might be reading and studying, researching, and there's so much information nowadays on the internet. You can discuss, number two, you can discuss complex subjects even with your peers there at work. Get those conversations going. Experiment with innovative design. You could bring in a vendor over lunchtime and have them discuss lubrication techniques. You could attend conferences with the software that you're using. You could attend, more importantly, non-software centric venues, where that's, for me personally, that's where I gained the most knowledge on asset management. And I realized what I didn't know. Of course, you can do site visits. You can, when you're doing that study research effort, you might say, hey, I've got an article that I might submit to a trade magazine. You can submit a conference paper as a speaker, so on and so forth. So, and lastly, you might seek certification, such as CRL or CMRP, CRE. There are several out there. And that helps solidify the knowledge that you have and help you become recognized in the industry.
Excellent. Very good points, all of them. Now, with a lot of the stuff that you mentioned, lubrication and RCM and all these other things, generally there's a software that supports those, whether it's a CMMS, an EAM, or a host of other different options. How does software actually support those improvements and an asset management program in a holistic sense?
Yes, thanks for that question. Now, the CMMS is the knowledge base. Most people think of it as a work order system, but obviously it's the official registry of the assets. You can purchase additional software that will interface or integrate with the CMMS. Maybe it's more specialized in condition monitoring, data capture, or reliability. RCM analysis software might be outside of the product. So the important point is to capture the knowledge you need, the data you need to produce the required outputs that you need. And the stakeholders should design those outputs to assist in decision-making, because decision-making is the end game. That is the purpose of putting data into a system like this. It's not just to make work order tickets.
Exactly. We need to have data-driven decision-making in asset management. Now, we might not have all the data. We might not have the perfect picture of everything, but we want to be in as formed as possible. And that's what that CMMS allows us to do, is be in as formed as possible and make as much data-driven decision-making as possible. Now,
I agree.
What considerations need to be taken when deciding on what software to support the asset management program?
Well, this is a question and subject that quite often you'll see in the trade magazines. In an organization such as Gartner might compare and review these software packages, but to me, they all make work orders and they all have asset tracking and reports. In other words, they're quite similar, but where some packages differ is in the ability to configure. And so when we say the configuration, I say that compared to customization. So configuration in my book is something that you can alter the screen or the database, but not customize. So it's upgradable, if that's a word, I don't know. But the product will automatically upgrade when you do apply the next version without having to bring in an expert consultant or whatever to perform any modifications to support the version that you're going to. So configuration is what you want in a product. You don't want to have to be doing customization of any type.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I don't know how many instances of SAP that I've seen that have been customized and they can't upgrade with the new version release because of those customizations. Configuration is very different. That's setting what fields do we want to be visible. That's those sorts of things. And I think it's important to understand the difference between those two, because it very much can limit you in being able to upgrade and improve your software if you have too much customization.
Yes, that's true.
Now, what cautions would you provide to organizations looking at replacing software instead of focusing on their asset management program?
Well, geez, that's another good question. You know, it comes back to the core team. They are responsible for the success or failure of this system. There's a statement. And if they don't have a clear idea of where they're going and they're not able to lead the community in continuous improvement, bad things will happen. And who knows, someday a senior manager might walk into your office and they'll say, hey, we've paid a lot of money for this product and we're still struggling to get good reports out of the system. And this has been going on, this conversation has been going on for almost a year, if not longer. And so frustration is building. Sometimes the senior manager, you know, they want to make people happy too. And they'll be listening to the working level and they start to hear these gripes about ease of use and whatever else. And it comes really down to communication and responsiveness to the community. The thing is, if the core team does not provide that connection between the working level and the vision, then the system, quote unquote, can go bad. And then one day the senior manager is going to walk into your office one last time and say, we're going to switch software products. Now, obviously, this is the wrong, normally it's the wrong approach, because he's trying to fix a process problem by switching the software. And there's a good chance the poor data capture process procedures will continue. The poor processes will continue into the new software. And so it doesn't really fix things. But the senior manager made up his mind, and now it's too late. So that's the shortcoming of that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. One of the things that I find with CMMS implementations or even existing CMMSs is the organization doesn't have an understanding of their internal business processes, so they just default to whatever the business process is in the CMMS. when in reality, you should map your business processes, understand what you want to do, how you want that to work, data collection, for example, and then configure the CMMS to match your business process. And oftentimes it's not. It's just defaulted to however it comes directly out of the box. And I think that is some of the frustration and reasons why people don't use it properly, and then we end up switching software after software every couple years. This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com. Now, any other thoughts on the role of software in an asset management program you want to share with our listeners?
Well, two thoughts. Unfortunately, there are some organizations, maybe core teams and maybe even individuals that do not understand this subject of asset management. And number two, they do not perform any benchmarking. And so they are in their own little world, and they're not reading industry articles in magazines or on the internet or on LinkedIn. They're not taking interest on their own to dive into this subject further, and that's unfortunate. So those are the first two thoughts that come to mind. There is one more point, which is you should never assume that the necessary analytical reports reside in the product you purchase out of the box. The odds, they may have 300 reports, but there's probability is very high that it won't be the exact analytic that you need to make more and more decisions. So the point is, focus on that early with your core team and get that designed and in place, and then link the inputs to that.
And that's a good point. Now, if the software doesn't provide the specific analytical report you want, are most CMSs set up to allow you to create those relatively easily with a report builder or, you know, some data queries using SQL or something like that?
Well, that's certainly a fair question. I'll say yes, but obviously I don't know all of the products. I would hope that they would have the ability to create a brand new report on the fly. Either way, all you're going to have to do is find an individual in-house or external that knows how to write a report and then can connect that software to the database, and you'll be there. What you want, the cat's meow here, would be a Pareto-style failure analytic with dynamic drill down on failure mode. And so imagine having that type of report in the hands of a reliability team, and they've got that on the projector overhead, and they can start to make some real-life value-add decisions on the fly, managed by exception.
That would be ideal. That would make everyone's life a little bit easier in dealing with those bad actors, getting into the systemic and latent levels of the root causes of those failure modes. Is it lack of precision maintenance? Is it, you know, lack of a precision maintenance standard, and so on and so forth? Getting down to that level instead of just saying it wasn't installed properly, if you will. That would be great. I would love to see that.
Me too.
Now, what is the one thing that you think makes the biggest difference in being successful in an asset management program?
There are many organizations that are doing a terrific job with the CMMS or EAM software product that they have. They've got wonderful skill sets to technically configure the product and do some very clever things, adding efficiency to the working level, at the same time providing reports. But I would still advise that core team to seek additional knowledge in the asset management philosophy, the concepts we mentioned earlier. And one approach to do this would be a fundamentals course that would cover all of these aspects. I like the uptime elements by Reliability Web. They have 36 elements there, and they provide an asset management framework that covers everything you need to know. So so I would send the core team to that type of course, or bring the instructor to the site.
Excellent. Very good. You know, creating that awareness. While reliability engineers may be very familiar with Weibull analysis and, you know, failure mode effect analysis and those sorts of things, they may not have an understanding of work management and spares and how that influences what they're doing and vice versa. And I think that's important to have that awareness, because then you create that holistic system. You knock down those functional barriers and you create a holistic approach to asset management, which is what it should be.
I agree.
Now, if you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you would change in a typical asset management program that you see right now?
Well, all of the products definitely need to move towards mobile. That's number one. Number two, that I would start making the products more dynamic, more the touchscreen functionality. Number three, I'd go after reporting. I'm still not comfortable or satisfied, rather, with the tools that are given to us to make reports. And you should not have to be a programmer to make these things. And so by teaching up maybe a power user, he should be able to make a semi-advanced report with minimal effort. And even though most people don't like to discuss SQL, I think it's important to have some level of knowledge in SQL to move forward in this direction. The point there is, if you are thinking about the mean time between failure metric, well, you need the ability to select that from your history, your work order backlog and history, to identify the functional failure. And so what is the SQL for that? And most organizations cannot run that cannot extract that information because they haven't thought this through. That was hard to explain, but I hope that came across.
Yep, it did. Understanding what data fields we need to query over what time periods, you know, those sorts of things will allow us to develop that type of report and understand what's going on. But if we don't have someone within the organization that understands SQL and can dive in and pull that data, it's very hard to make it usable. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from this conversation today?
Well, if I were a member of the core team or leading the core team, you know, you just can't do everything at once. Start identifying those business process improvements that you want to make. I think you need to take the initiative here. You can't always depend upon leadership to pull these thoughts together. And by doing that, you want to create a long-range plan. Now, it's not as hard as you think. You just need to start making a list of improvements. Maybe you start put them in Excel, and then you prioritize these things. And then you assign a level of effort to each. Then who would lead that initiative? So you've got the elements there, along with duration on each. You've got the elements to start putting together a real schedule. And then you apply the availabilities and you hit the resource leveling button, and you have a five-year plan at that point. Most organizations have never created a long-range plan. So I think they're falling short in that regard. But imagine the benefit, James, if you were that person and you had this plan, and a senior manager walks into your office and you've got that on your wall, and he's gonna note that, he's gonna see it, and imagine how the conversation could then be controlled with that as the document of substance. So there you go.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That is so important, to have that long range plan. It allows you to work with operations to secure equipment outages and, you know, provide that communication to senior management, identify when there's a shutdown or outage coming and plan for it accordingly and those sorts of things. Having a long range plan is vitally important. And if I'm not mistaken, we had an episode directly on that topic. So I will make sure to link to that within the show notes.
Oh, wonderful.
Now, before we go, John, where can people find out more about you? What activities or conferences are you going to be attending? You know, you have Failure Modes to Failure Code your book. Are you writing any others? What are you up to right now?
I do have a short course scheduled in August at Orlando for Maximal World. It's for chronic failure analysis, which is the theme of the book. I'm still making postings on LinkedIn. I've got 14,000 followers as of now. And other than that, I am starting to put together my next book, which would be RCM for Asset Management, which will be a larger effort, but I think I can put it together.
Excellent. Well, I'll make sure to put links to your LinkedIn profile and some of those posts, your book, Failure Modes to Failure Codes. That way people can easily find those. And once you get that next book finished up, we'll bring you back on to have a conversation about that.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Well, John, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about what customers need is an asset management program and not software. I think it provided some insights to people who may be considering looking at software as a way to solve their problems. Some things that they need to consider before they go ahead and do that, and the importance of focusing on the asset management program itself and not just software. So thank you very much for sharing your vast knowledge with us today.
Well, thanks, James. Take care.
Thank you. I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.